I'm gonna pray for her. Jesus, I pray that we lift up my wife to you, Lord, as she is speaking to us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, that come and open our heart, open our mind, open our spirit, Father, to hear the word from you through her, Father. I pray your anointing over her right now, Lord. And I pray, help us to open our ears and open our heart, Father, because you are a great God, Father, because you see us, Father, you see our heart, Lord. I pray your blessing each and every one of us here in this house, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amun.
That was in Cantonese. A man of many languages. Yes, good morning. Okay, so for those of you that were here last week, what did we talk about last week? Identity in Christ, but what specifically underneath that umbrella? The lies of the enemy, yes. And do you remember what the exercise that we did was? We wrote down some of the lies that we've believed and the enemy has held over our lives, and we brought them to the cross. And Nava has just informed me that those were shredded this week. So all those little sticky notes, that must have taken, how long did that take? Okay. That could have taken a while. All of them at once, they're just gone within seconds. Shredded up. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yeah, so that was what we did in week one. This week, we're going to talk about Jesus. Yeah, so we dealt with some of those lies, which help, that can block some of our encounters and hearing from God. So that's good. We dealt with those. And then this week we're going to talk about Christ is the foundation of our identity. Because oftentimes we hear about identity, you know, and it's good, you know, to know who you are. But how can we really know who we are if we don't know who Christ is? Now, of course, I'm talking to the choir. We all know Christ. We all know Jesus, which is awesome. But there is a foundation. As we grow in our identity with him, then we can grow in our identity. Like as we learn and understand who he is, we can learn and understand who we are. That's week two. I'm going to give you a sneak peek into next week, which will be our friend Joel over here. He'll be talking on hearing God's voice, which will be really fun. And every week we're doing some interesting exercises. So be ready. Last week we got out, we went to the cross. This week we're going to do something very, very interesting. Next week we're going to do something even more interesting. That was not an evil laugh, although it did sort of sound like one. And then the last week will be our friend Leo. And he'll be talking about helping others find their identity, because we can't just stop there and here. We have to go out, right? So these are all important elements to the fullness of identity in Christ. So I'm talking about knowing Jesus. We're going to read from Ephesians 1, 16 to 18. Dennis, would you like to read this?
Hi, everyone. My name is Dennis. Yeah, I'll be reading from New King James Translation. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints.
Thank you so much. This is a very interactive time. Good job. Yes, so we've got some key parts of this scripture. As you can see, I bolded. May give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who's him? The Lord Jesus Christ. Which we've talked about this before, but Christ is not his last name, is it? And Lord is not his prefix, the Mr. or the Ms. Yeah. So it's Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not just learning about Jesus, we're learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are key as well, because as we understand who Jesus is, we start to recognize the Lordship of Christ, which impacts every area of our life. And we recognize the anointed Christ, Messiah, who he is, his title, his role, what he was set apart to do, which was to save the whole world, right? And reconcile us with the Father. So that's who Jesus is. So spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So as we pursue and seek the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, our hearts will know the hope of his calling. What do you think the hope is that he's called us to? There's many hopes, but the hope I'm talking about today is from Romans 8, 28 to 30. Don, would you like to read this one?
And we have known that for those who love God, all things do work together for good, to those who are called according to his purpose, because whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these also he did call. And whom he did call, these also he declared righteous. And whom he declared righteous, these also he did glorify.
It's a pretty great hope right there. So I think one of the main hopes that we have is to actually end up looking like Jesus. Isn't that pretty hopeful, pretty awesome? Because right now it seems a little bit rough, a little bit hopeless. Maybe we're falling short. Yeah, we're far away from it. But in the end, there's this hope that we are going to look and be conformed and transformed to look like Jesus, the image, the likeness of his Son. Now, image is an important word. Remember the word image. Conformed, I just looked this up in Greek. What it means is to carry the same essence. How cool is that? Like, when you think of the word essence, it just, like, that's what makes up the wholeness of someone, right? And so when you're carrying the same essence as Jesus, whoo, pretty awesome. Yeah, essence, perfume, the innards, I don't know, the makeup, like the bowels of someone. Yeah, so conformed, it's, you know, we read that word and we sometimes look over it and skim over it, but it actually means to start to carry the same essence, the same of someone. Likeness, yeah, but it's deeper than likeness. It's like the wholeness, the fullness. You know, it talks about the fullness of God dwelled in Jesus. That promise is also for us. The fullness of Jesus can dwell in us. So the essence, that's how we're conformed. We start to carry the image, the essence, the likeness of Jesus. So this is our hope, that we will be conformed to his likeness, his image. That's his purpose for us. One of them, but a big one. He's called us not to be worship leaders or CEOs, dancers, whatever. He has called us to be conformed to his image, to be his righteousness and be his glory on earth. That's our calling. That's our hope. And that has a lot to do with identity, because we can get sometimes so caught up in just the regular old temporary identity of who we are, of what our giftings are, or what I'm good at, what I like, what I don't like. You know, we get so caught up in that part of identity. But there's such a bigger picture, the identity of the fullness of Jesus coming to earth through us and spreading, which is why number four, week four, is so important, to bring others in this journey with us, to bring heaven to earth. And so identity encompasses so much more than our likes, dislikes, whatever we want to do, what we've been doing, our jobs, our school, or whatever. Those are things that are important, but the most important, the utmost important, is that we are on a journey to look like Jesus and to bring him to those around us. So that's Romans 8, 28 to 30. This is our calling. So I might have talked about this a few years ago or a year ago, I don't remember, but this message I heard almost 10 years ago now from a guy named Corey Russell, who was really involved with IHOP Kansas City, and it has forever changed me. And this sentence, "Who do you say that I am?" is probably one of the most important sentences that we can get a hold of and grasp a hold of. It's not the most important sentence of who do I say that I am, or who do I think that I am, or who does someone else think that I am. It's who do I say that he is? Who do I say that Jesus is? And we read in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. Bob.
"Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do you say that the Son of Man is?'" That's right. "And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'"
Yes, so there's a question there that he asks first. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that Jesus is? Now, that is a really easy one to answer because we've heard lots of things and we know lots of things because we've heard them. But as we're going to look at in a second, there's a word, knowledge. Remember the word knowledge. It's not an intellectual, I know this because I've heard it. So we could all say, we know that Taylor Swift is coming to Toronto for a concert in a month, or I don't know when it is, next year, whatever. So we know that about her, but honestly, none of us have ever had a conversation with Taylor Swift. So maybe many of you don't know who Taylor Swift is. Okay, who else could I talk about? Justin Trudeau. We all know about him. We know a lot of things about his life. We know even that he's going through some troubles right now with his family. We know all these things. However, do any of us know him personally? I don't. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. So we can't really say that we know him. Yes, you can see some of his actions and you can kind of, yeah, you can get an idea. But to really know someone, there needs to be a personal connection, connection that goes beyond just hearing about and seeing. But it's really this experiential knowledge. And Peter, also, there's another word, revelation. When we hear about what other people say Jesus is, that's all well and good. But there's the second question is the one that we need to worry about. Because that's the question in Matthew 7:23 when it says, I never knew you, right? Lord, Lord, you know, we did all these things in your name. And he goes, I never knew you. So the knowing is very crucial to our walk with God. And it's not just, again, a knowing, but it's a knowing, an experiential, it's a revelation. It's something that is active and it's changing ever, like it's growing, it's moving, it's not stagnant. And the second question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said it. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, earlier in John, there's actually a moment when Andrew, his brother, comes and pulls Peter along and says, come, follow me. I found exactly this. I found the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter heard it. He heard it from Andrew. So how is it different from here? Like Jesus says, it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed this to you. But if you look back, Andrew did tell him about this exact thing, who he was. But there's a difference, again, in hearing and revealing. There's a difference in hearing and knowing. And so Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon. So he uses his original name right there. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Andrew didn't tell you, but actually the Father who is in heaven told you. And that's a whole nother level of knowing, right? When you hear something right from God himself. It's not from your neighbor, it's not from your parents, not from your Sunday school teacher, your pastor. It's coming from heaven. And then he says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and he uses his new name. And so I found this so profound that Simon turned into Peter at the revelation of Jesus. He came from something and went somewhere because of someone. That was cool. I didn't say that. I mean, I didn't plan that. What did I just say? Just came from somewhere to something from someone. That's pretty cool. So you want to know who you are. You want to know your identity. You got to go after who he is, and he'll tell you who you are. Our calling is to pursue the revelation of the name and image and glory of Jesus. The thing that he's building his church on, the rock, is that revelation of Jesus. It's Jesus himself. It wasn't Peter. While he was really instrumental in building the church, there was a deeper meaning of this is what's going to build and grow my kingdom on earth, which is the revelation that comes from heaven about Jesus himself, who is the image of God the Father, right? When you know Jesus, you know the Father, and that's so crucial. So here, yeah, I've got a couple Greek meanings, which I found really interesting. Revelation is the word in Ephesians that we talked about, the wisdom and spirit of wisdom and revelation. Apocalypse. A disclosure of truth, instruction concerning divine things before unknown, especially those relating to the Christian salvation, given to the soul by God himself or by the ascended Christ and through the operation of the Holy Spirit. So all three are involved there with the revelations coming. That's pretty cool. It's a disclosure of truth. So something that trumps fact, right? Like truth is Jesus. And it comes to us not by what we hear and what we know, but it comes from God himself. And the knowledge, the word here is gnosis, which is derived from gnosko, and it means experientially know, functional working knowledge gleaned from personal first-hand experience, connecting theory to application. I love that. Application knowledge gained by a direct relationship. So it's a working, moving, applicational, active knowledge, relationship. That's what knowledge means when we are growing in the revelation. We get the revelation of God from God, and then we have the knowledge, the knowing, the connecting, the intimacy, the experience with Jesus. And transformation, that's what we get through those things, is metamorpho, which means changed after being with. Isn't that cool? It's really connected to a person again. It's not just, oh, I changed because I put on some new clothes. But it's actually a change after being with someone, probably Jesus. Changing form and keeping with inner reality, properly transformed after being with and transfigured. So that's what we are transformed, is we're actually transformed by this knowledge and revelation, and then we begin to look like Jesus because we've been with him, which is important. We can't transform without having been with him, right? And so those are all connected. Hearing from God, knowing him, experiencing him, and then becoming like him and transformed to be like him. Okay, I just love this passage because it just is so describes Jesus. And I'd love Aaron to read this.
And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Wow, that's Jesus. Whew. That is just so many amazing things in there. You should just read those five verses over and over and over again for the next years of your life. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and he reconciled all things. That's our hope. Isn't that incredible? Okay, so there's another word that I really love, and it's the word behold. Because oftentimes when we get to know someone, the word behold is a little bit uncomfortable. Gaze, it's a little bit awkward if you're just gazing at someone you just met, right? Just imagine that for a moment. I don't know. But beholding and gazing is a word that brings in length with it. You know, it's not just a quick glance. It's not a glance. It's a long-held look, gaze. And beholding is so key and important because we as humans can be so quick to do things. Right now, for example, we're like the microwave generation, you know, they always say that, like things just happen fast. If it's not fast enough, people freak out a little bit. If the light doesn't change fast enough, why aren't you green yet? I have to go. We're always in a rush. We're always going somewhere and trying to do something. And very rarely do we pause or do we reflect or do we create the space that we need to grow. Even in our Christian walk, we're just going on to the next thing, the next program, the next conference, the next whatever, which are also good things. But when do we just sit and stare at God? And it can be really uncomfortable because it requires a bit of vulnerability. I talked about this in the worship teaching about the opening up of your body and the vulnerability it takes to sit in front of someone openly. It's quite a lot, and it's not comfortable, and we don't usually love to do it. Sitting in a prayer room like the IHOP Kansas City, it takes a lot of skills and not skill. You have to practice. You can't just go in the prayer room for 12 hours right off the bat. It gets really uncomfortable and awkward, and you fall asleep, or you're ready to get on your phone and look up something, or to just sit in the presence of God for more than a few minutes can. I mean, some of you guys have probably practiced. You're great, you can do it for hours, which is awesome. But for most of us, it's a few minutes here and there, and then it gets a little uncomfortable, so we move on and we come back to it. But to actually behold and to gaze longly in the presence for a long time, behold the face of glory. And this is 2 Corinthians 3:16.
So when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we are all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord and being transformed, which was what? From being with him, we're going to look like him, into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So that word beholding is so key because it just encompasses the length and the time that it takes to spend gazing and looking upon the beauty of the Lord and getting that revelation from God, the knowledge of him that then begins to transform us to look like him. It's hard to look like someone when you don't really know them or you never really seen them. So there's a funny get to know you game that we used to do in YWAM where you had to look at someone for about 3 seconds and then you had to go turn your back to them and then you had to go and try to look like them. You had to remember what they were wearing and try to like go and look around the base and get the same color shirt or whatever. But if you've only looked at them for 3 seconds, you miss a lot of details. So you come back and you go, oh, I had the wrong shirt color. Oh, I had the wrong shoes or whatever. And so that, to me, that's always really spoken of, that you can't really get a lot when you just have a quick look, right? The more you look, the more you gaze, the more you behold, the more you know, the more you can become and look like someone. Often you hear that pets end up looking like their owners after they've been together for many years. I've seen the 101 Dalmatians cartoon. They have a couple scenes where that happens. They just walk through the frame and these dogs look exactly like their owners. I think that's pretty funny and also true. And also your significant others, that also begins to happen where they become more and more alike over the years that you've been together. And that's just a natural thing that is awesome. Or you start matching, yeah. So behold. That's how we can get some knowledge and revelation on the Lord. Now, of course, as we behold the face of Christ, the knowledge of the very glory of God is shown in our hearts. We're changed into the same image. The present tense, however, from the verse prior, being transformed in the same image. So this present tense implies a gradual transfiguration, a mystical and spiritual change which is produced in us while we contemplate Christ or meditate or behold. From glory to glory, our spiritual likening to Christ comes from his glory and then releases us and equips us with a glory like his. Of course, it's not complete right now. You can't go have one night of prayer all night and wake up the next morning and you are Jesus. It doesn't work like that. It takes time and it will be the rest of our lives we're on this journey. But we have this great hope in 1 Corinthians 13. For now we only see a reflection as in a mirror, but we shall see then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even I, as I am fully known. Wow. There's another story that one of my professors from school used to talk about. You have a bucket and you're in the ocean, right? And you take your bucket, you fill it with some of the ocean. Now, the ocean is in your bucket right now. The essence of the ocean is in your bucket, right? The water, maybe some sea life, but the fullness of the ocean is not in your bucket. Otherwise, that would be pretty ridiculous. And so that's a little bit of what it's like. The ocean is in our bucket. Jesus is in us, but the fullness is coming when we are going to be hanging out with the whole ocean in one shot, one moment. Very overwhelming, but also really amazing. In 1 John 3:2-3, it says, "Beloved, we are God's children right now." So we are right now God's children. But what we will be fully has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is in fullness and glory, right? When Jesus comes back. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So it's a journey. It's a moment by moment reckoning. Now this is another beautiful scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has thus shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so there's that knowledge, that intimate, experiential, changing, transformational knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. John 1:14, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And I love this little addition here. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. We stayed in his presence and gazed and longingly looked and upon his glory, which was the same glory as the Father. What is glory? I love what this says. So doxa is the Greek word, which evokes a good opinion or something that has inherent intrinsic worth. And it corresponds to the Old Testament word kabo, which means heavy. But both terms actually convey God's infinite intrinsic worth, the very substance and essence of God. That's his glory. That's the knowledge of the essence, intrinsic worth of God that's being shown into our hearts by beholding Jesus' face. Beholding in Jesus the glory or the intrinsic infinite worth, substance, essence of God, we learn to obey, love, and know him. By daily beholding him, who came as a light into the world, we are more and more freed from the darkness or the lies, like we talked about last week, of ignorance, error, sin, misery. We learn that the command of God is everlasting life, which is in John. It says to know and experience intimately Jesus and to be transformed and changed into the likeness of image of the Messiah, the chosen and appointed one, anointed one, the Son of the living God. So as we pursue this revelation, this knowledge of Jesus, everything else fades away and he becomes the most amazing thing to us, and we can gaze on him lovingly and longingly and not uncomfortably or ready to move on, but it becomes this exciting, intimate experience, and then we are transformed and we're changed into the hope of his calling, the image of Christ. Okay, so we're going to do a little experiential time. Not creepy, not culty, don't worry. I really was thinking of making you guys do something even worse, but then I don't think we have enough time. But we are going to practice beholding each other, which is really uncomfortable, but it's actually really fun. I've done it many, many times, where you stare into someone's eyes for more than comfortable 5 seconds, but for a couple minutes, and it can get really intense. There's been moments where both of me and my partner end up in tears because we just can see the other person and we're exposed. And it's a scary moment, but it's also really powerful because you get past that, let's just move on and I won't really know you or see you. But I won't do that to you guys. You won't have to partner up and stare into one another's eyes for 2 minutes. Maybe we'll do that another time, but we're going to practice beholding Jesus right now. Music in the background, and we're going to have some scriptures read that are very describing of God. And get out and move into the back, but just to listen and meditate and hear and gaze and behold Jesus and God as we listen to scriptures that describe him. I'd love for us all to meditate on one name of God this week and grow in revelation and knowledge of that name that you find over there. And there's 50 of them. They all have the name and then the name in English and Hebrew and a scripture with it. And I think a prayer as well on the back. So take a picture of both sides and spend some time this week looking into that. Thank you.
God is good all the time. That is the end of our service today. Thank you for coming. And also, if you are very new here or first time here, welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But go with the peace and go with some coffee. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.